chapter 5. I almost said 1 Peter because in my Bible it's on the same page. In James chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 13 to 18 in just a minute. I was realizing something as I was getting ready for this. We are really close to being done with the book of James. That's another book that we can say that we've gone through. I think we're like a bunch now. It's been a while. Next time that I preach on James, it won't be next Sunday night. We've got a missionary preach next Sunday night, so it'll be a 2 weeks from today, Lord willing, will be the last message in James. So I'm excited about that. James 5, 13 to 18, the message tonight is about prayer, the power of prayer, and it's about the power of prayer two ways. The power of individual prayer, of course, it talks about that. But the text mostly is about the power of church prayer, when we pray together as a church. Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China, he had a saying. He used to say that the church moves forward on its knees. And if you can think about our church and some of the stuff that we've seen God do, I can definitely say that there have been times where we've seen God show up in a mighty way, and almost always it's after a season of concentrated prayer, when we're praying for God to do specific things. And God answers those prayers in specific ways. And some of you in here were saved after, after we prayed very hard for you to be saved and for very specific periods of time. So prayer is one of the most important things we do as a church. You all know this. There's a reason why our midweek service is a prayer meeting. Where we get together and we pray together, and sometimes it can kind of descend a little bit. We need to get away from that. It needs to be a time where we get together and we pray together and pray urgently for our prayer requests, and it shouldn't stop there. Let's look at the text here. James chapter 5, 13 to 18, it says, "Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you, or is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." All right, so we're going to look at these verses tonight, and I'm going to give you three main points about prayer. We'll get to that in a second. Let's get started with the word of prayer, all right? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless the reading of your word tonight. Help me as I preach. Give me clarity of mind and thought, and help me to preach with power. Help us to understand some things that might be a little bit confusing tonight, and just use the word in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so one of the themes of the book of James is the danger of the tongue, remember? And we've been going through this for a while. Way back in chapter 1, verse 26, James said, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, that man's religion is vain." We have to watch our tongue. We have to watch the things that we say. All right, chapter 2, he warns us about using our tongue to show respect of persons. In verse 16 of chapter 2, he warns us about using our tongue, making empty Christian statements to people. The people are hungry, and we say, "Be warmed and filled." And James talks about the evil of that. And then, of course, James chapter 3, the whole chapter is about the danger of the tongue and how our tongue is a fire, and it's untamable. It's an untamable beast. It's full of deadly poison, and how our tongue can get away from us, and our tongue can cause way more damage than we ever imagined. And yet, if we can get our tongue under control, we can get our whole self under control. So that whole chapter is about the tongue. Then chapter 4, verse 11, it talks about how, warns us about how we shouldn't use our tongue to speak evil of our brothers and sisters, or to judge our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then finally, here in chapter 5, verse 9, it says that we're not supposed to grudge or complain against our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then verse 12, it says that we're supposed to not make silly oaths. We should use yea and nay. Let our words mean something. So listen, a consistent theme, the point I'm trying to make here is a consistent theme in this book over and over again, all through the whole book, has been you got to watch what comes out of your mouth. You got to watch what you say, okay? Your tongue gets you in trouble. Your tongue causes problems, and certainly my tongue has caused me problems, and certainly I've said things in the past that I shouldn't have said. Your tongue hurts your relationship with others. Your tongue can ruin your testimony. Your tongue can cause disunity in the church. Your tongue can cause all kinds of problems. It can really hurt other people, okay? So we have to watch what we say. But here, he doesn't end with just a warning about the tongue. He gives us some instruction on how to use our tongue. Doesn't just say, don't do this. He says, do this, all right? Here's some positive stuff to do with your tongue. And it all relies around prayer, this idea of prayer. So the first point, I'm going to give you 3 points. They're all R. They're all R letters, okay? Made it easy for you to write it down tonight. The first one is the recipe for prayer. A recipe for prayer, okay? And you see this in verses 13 and 14. James gives us a little bit of a recipe here, things that we should do. And the first thing he says in verse 13 is it's a recipe for the suffering. He says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Now, afflicted means suffering. What he's saying is if you're suffering, if you're going through a hard time, if you're going through difficulty, what you need to do is you need to pray. You need to bring that suffering to Jesus. Bring that suffering to the Lord. We sing the song sometimes. Are you weary? I'm not going to try to sing. I can't get the tune right. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus, right? Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. And that's what James is saying here. He's saying, when you're going through a hard time, when you're going through difficulty, that's not the time to complain. That's not the time to grudge. That's not the time to look around at your brothers and sisters in Christ, your fellow church members, and say, why do they have it so good? And I have to deal with all this stinking problems. It's not the time to hold grudges. If you're going to use your tongue when you're going through a hard time, use your tongue and bring your prayers, bring your petitions to the Lord. Hope you were in Sunday school this morning. We had a good lesson this morning about how to pray. Acts, right? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. I hope you were paying attention. Sunday school teachers, I hope you actually said that this morning, all right?